Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price. This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Hi, I'm Daisy Rosario.
And I'm Luke Winky.
And you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture. And I am sitting in for Candace today because she is sick. Honestly, it seems like everybody is sick. So Candace, get well, please.
It feels like there's like a media flu going on. But everyone get well out there.
For those who don't know Luke's work, Luke is a staff writer here at Slate where he gets some of the weirdest, funniest, strangest assignments.
I feel like I get a lot of assignments out here that's almost presented to me, like, apologetically. Like, hey, Luke, I hate to say it, but we have an idea for you. The one we are discussing today was my idea, to be fair. But, yeah, it's a lot of ideas that, for better or worse, I have carved out a reputation being willing to take on. So I just have to live with that for the rest of my career at Slate.
Okay, so very good to know that you actually volunteered yourself for this one, because today Luke is going to tell us about one of these many strange things that he has done. This one was a viral fad diet, the sardine fast, which is what it sounds like pretty much. But before we get to that, Luke, you know, it's ICYMI. We got a banter at the top.
Yes.
And I want to talk to you very much about... It's not Brat Summer anymore. It's Brat Fall,
It's Brat Autumn.
It's Brat Autumn, which was like really kicked off at Storm King.
It's Brat Foliage. We're getting auburn and orange and red up here. Yeah, funny enough, a few days ago, my fiance, who also works in the media, got an email saying, hey, come up to Storm King and you can listen to the unveiling of the Charlie XCX Brat remix album. For our non-New York listeners, Storm King is a...
Yeah, I was about to say.
It's like an outdoor park art gallery. There's a lot of, you know, kind of postmodern sculptures. It's kind of carved out a reputation of being like a place you debut your relationship on Instagram. Like you go like Instagram official with whoever you're dating. Like the upstate Storm King trip is like, you know, month three of the Hinge relationship status, kind of, you know, it's like right level. It's like right below like meeting the parents.
That is too accurate.
But it's out in like the wilderness of upstate New York. I believe it appeared in Master of None, which is, you know, one of the great New York millennial shows of all time. So that's probably representative of the clientele. I don't know. Daisy, do you have any better thoughts on Storm King than I do?
Well, it's funny that you say that, Luke, because as you mentioned, your fiance was there. You and I both got engaged to our people around the same time. Today, this very day that we are recording, is exactly 4 years since my now wife and I went to Storm King.
Oh my God.
On the date where we first held hands.
Wow.
What?
that's so wholesome.
It's very wholesome, but if you do the math, it makes more sense. 4 years ago, it was 2020. And so
sure.
We went on so many walking dates because we found each other on Tinder like during the summer of 2020. So we went on all of these walking dates. And then she finally is like, I'm going to take you to Storm King.
Right.
Which again, to Luke's point, it's kind of like, think of a sculpture garden, but spread over many, 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 many acres. So you could just like run around this big open space and occasionally run into a sculpture.
Right.
Yeah. So she wanted to take me there. And we were like, well, we're supposed to be 6 feet away from each other. Does this mean we finally will touch? Like, it legit was such a weird time.
Let's hold hands under this, like, neon orange plastic sculpture in the middle of, you know, Arcadia. That's kind of the vibe of Storm King.
Yes.
Yeah, and not really the Brat aesthetic, I would say, Storm King, you know? So it's interesting that this is where we are making the turn into Brat Autumn. I've got, like, a scene report kind of secondhand via my fiance, who told me there was a lot of Brat drinks, a lot of neon green cocktails being poured around. It was Charlie debuting the remix album. From what I understand, the remix album deals with maybe some heavier themes compared to Brad Summer. I've not listened to myself just yet, so maybe that's in line with, you know, we're not debuting this at a boiler room in, you know, Ibiza. We're doing it out in, you know, the wilderness where love blooms. I mean, you know, shout out to Charlie keeping this thing going, man. You know, for someone who is sort of on the margins of like the pop chart for so long, it feels like we have at least a few more, at least another month of like Brad content. I'm happy for her.
Yeah, I hope so. Honestly, I love Charlie XCX. Like many queer women, we have been out here loving Charlie for a long time. I can't tell you how many themed workout classes and dance nights of Charlie themed that I've been to in my life. But yeah, when I saw the Storm King Brat remix album listening party event thing, I immediately texted my wife, who was very offline.
Yeah.
And it still felt, you know, she was like, that feels so weird, but so right, essentially.
Yeah, you know? For sure. You know, I mean, as we know, you know, Brat has this, I think for people that don't know Brat, they think it's an album for like 22-year-olds. No, man, this is an album for people who are like maybe a little bit older and a little bit washed that are, you know, have different modes, which is modes of like, I cannot wait to go to the bathroom with my girls for 15 minutes. And also there can be a mode of, maybe I should have a child and start a family and, you know, right, go out to Storm totally. King. You know, I feel like it does sort of contain the multitudes of this album that has been short shipped by people that don't really understand it or have the wrong idea about it.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Luke is going to walk us through his experience with the Sardine Fest. This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. You chose to hit play on this podcast today. Smart choice. Progressive loves to help people make smart choices. That's why they offer a tool called Auto Quote Explorer that allows you to compare your Progressive car insurance quote with rates from other companies. So you save time on the research and can enjoy savings when you choose the best rate for you. Give it a try after this episode at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whether you're listening to ICYMI at double speed or regular speed, you'd probably love to know how you can get more cash back on your credit card. Either way, we'll slow things down a bit so you don't miss anything. Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to Discover. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And we are back. Okay, Luke, so what is this sardine diet and where did you first see it online?
Yeah, I think like all great stories in journalism, I believe I saw someone on Twitter making fun of a video of someone saying that they were doing a sardine fast.
Okay.
I mean, essentially what the sardine fast is and what this person's video was about is that you spend 72 hours and you eat nothing but tin sardines and drink water, and I think black coffee is allowed too. And
sure,
you know, sort of like a juice cleanse or like, you mm-hmm. know, any other short-term crash diets that it seems questionable what it could actually accomplish. It has a big following in like the carnivore world, the raw food world. People that are into raw honey and raw milk and yeah. might be unvaccinated are, I think the overlap with like the sardine diet thing okay. is pretty, it's like almost like if you do like a Venn diagram of that, that's almost like a perfect circle. So this yeah. person was making fun of that. And
that makes a lot more sense to me because I have to say this one never crossed my path. And you know, I mean, You don't always hear me on ICYMI, but I work on this show. And besides my own social media diet, like, we have to be online a lot. And I, this one did not cross my path. So.
Yeah.
But this makes sense. It totally reminds me of like the Master Cleanse or something like that, for sure.
Yeah. Liver King. It's not really my world too, you know, and it just kind of shows you just how like atomized our online experiences are. Cause like once I went looking for this, there is so much sardine fast content out there. There's a lot of videos of people, you know, doing kind of like day by, like hour by hour. It's like, all right, I'm on hour 15 of my sardine fast and here's how it's going. And it was basically invented by this woman named Dr. Annette Bosworth, who is a former nutritionist. Her bio is a little bit sketchy. She actually ran for office and was busted for campaign finance crimes. Just a person, she's selling like liver pills on her website. So, you know, someone with some medical background, but also someone with a bit of a sketchy history. But the point is, she put out a YouTube video kind of detailing what a sardine fast is, sort of coining this this diet. And that's been viewed over 700,000 times. And, you know, it's kind of propagated out from there.
Okay, so this is a YouTuber. She also goes by Dr. Boz on YouTube.
Dr. Boz, yes.
Yeah. So, okay, so what kinds of claims are we talking about here in terms of what this could do? I mean, obviously it's a fad diet, so there's always going to be some kind of weight loss involved, but like, why is this fad right now super hot with the people that you're talking about?
Yeah, I'll say this for the sardine fast people. It's not like they're saying that this is going to like increase your, like make your eyes better or, you know, allow you to like transcend reality. It's mostly been like, hey, if you want to get into ketosis real quick, which is, that's where what the keto diet refers to. It's about getting your body to a place where it's only burning, you know, protein and fat and not sugar and glucose and things like that. I'm giving you a remedial, probably like C+ understanding of it, but that's that's the gist of it. A good way to do that is to only eat sardines for 3 days, because sardines are, you know, sardines are good for you. Talk to any doctor, they will tell you sardines are good for you. They're high in, omega-3s, they're high in protein, they're, you know, heavy sugar, they're low in carbs, all that stuff, you know?
That is one thing I found interesting reading your article is like, well, the part, like, nobody actually disagrees that sardines are healthy. Like, they are, like, in and of themselves, they're inherently healthy. But, like, because that is different than something like the Master Cleanse, which, you know, if you're not, if you don't remember that one, man, a lot of people from the aughts will remember, like Beyonce talked about that one. It's the cayenne pepper and lemon one.
Yes.
And it's also maple syrup, right? So like anytime you go to a Whole Foods and you see that there's like the multiple grades of maple syrup, people might be doing the Master Cleanse. Like, but that one just straight up is like, you're going to drink cayenne pepper, lemon juice and sugar, and that's it. There's not really many nutrients in that at all. So at least in that sense, like, you're at least starting with a ingredient that actually is inherently good for you in some way.
Yeah, for sure. And I think most doctors would say that no, you should probably be eating some vegetables too, but you know, it's like, it's not like you are inherently putting anything bad in your body. Sardines are also pretty low in mercury, so even the like even the thing you would reach to is like, what could be bad in fish? Sardines are kind of askew that as well. So overall, you know, two thumbs up on eating sardines. I, you know, maybe not to this degree, but fundamentally, they do not have a wrong idea.
Yeah. I mean, look, sardines are having a moment. Like,
yeah. Tin fish is having a moment. Yeah.
Tin fish is having a moment.
Do you think the tin fish moment is, how much do you think it's like people being like, oh man, you know what's good for you is mussels and sardines and I'm you know, trying to live healthier? Or how much is, or is it just like, man, do those Art Deco cans look great and I like having them around because they just look kind of pretty on the, they look kind of pretty in my fridge or on my counter. Yeah. I feel like the aesthetic of tinned fish has really kind of put it over the ceiling here.
Yeah, I do think it's like there's a little bit of a perfect storm going on. Right. Like I was like, you are in New York, but I don't live in New York anymore, even though that's where I'm from. And when I was there for a wedding last weekend, I was like, oh, there's a whole sardine store in Times Square next to the M&M store, basically. Right. Like, so, but I think it like kind of, oh God, this is going to be a weird answer, but I mean it. Like, I think kind of similar to the popularity of the IUD being both like information and then like Obamacare money was kind of like helping make it popular. I think that there's already been this like interest of like, how do we get more like sustainable, survivable foods.
Yeah.
Like, totally. You know, like I think it's some of our like apocalyptic fear and like wanting to learn more about that, and people seeing like people from other countries on TikTok eating it like it's delicious.
Yeah. The slight dash of, you know, Europhile tendencies, I feel like can't be underestimated here, because we've seen enough 99-year-old Italian men living off of tinned fish and red wine and olive oil to think that they clearly are onto something there.
Okay, I wrote this down in your from your article. So in your article, you do say that your family only kept tinned tuna in the house for your three cats.
Yeah, to the point that like canned tuna in my mind's eye was like just basically cat food, or like that's like the cat food aisle. The idea of like
one, bougie. Two, I just love that you had three cats growing up, because I'm a cat person.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I grew up in San Diego too, so I like, you know, it was we were a fresh fish society, obviously, down there. I would later learn that canned fish, that there's no preservatives in canned fish. The canning process itself keeps it fresh, so it's basically like you're just eating it right out of the ocean. But there was a moment though at the beginning of the pandemic where I believe my dad sent me like a Costco-sized pallet of like canned tuna, because that's what we were doing in March of 2020. We just had no idea what was in store.
Right.
So I did eat some, you know, some tinned fish, I guess, towards the beginning of the pandemic, but it did not stick around. That was all lost in the haze of the early days of COVID.
Okay, so the fish is healthy. Mm-hmm. You're gonna do it. You don't really have a taste for it. What else did you feel like you had to learn about it before you actually decided to do it?
I don't think I had ever had like canned sardines in my life. I kind of assumed I wouldn't like them, but like they're canned sardines. So I went to like my slightly bougie. We have like the shitty grocery store we have and the bougie, like every American family,
you know,
the shitty one and the nice one. So I decided, okay, if I'm going to go, like, what place is going to have a canned fish aisle? I'm going to go to like, you know, the fake Whole Foods. And I was struck by the diversity in pricing. You can get a $3 can of sardines or like an $18 can of sardines, and the amounts of flavoring. Like, obviously your baseline is just your canned sardines and olive oil, hopefully with the heads cut off, sometimes still totally scaled, which took a little bit to get over. But there was like a whole like canned sardines and like coconut curry, or canned sardines and like a marinara sauce, or like canned sardines with like actual like pickled chilies with them and the whole deal. Like, you can like, it's like adult bougie Lunchables. Like, you can kind of decide what your flavor is, sort of. And that was exciting, because I did not do this for 3 days, folks. I only did it for one day, but I got like six cans of sardines, and it was not just eating unseasoned sardines for 24 hours, which would have been a little bit more brutal.
All right.
Right.
Let us actually stop right here and take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into the reality of Luke eating these sardines and what it did or did not do for his body. We'll be right back.
Whether you're listening to ICYMI at double speed or regular speed, you'd probably love to know how you can get more cash back on your credit card. Either way, we'll slow things down a bit so you don't miss anything. Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. That means with Discover, you could turn $150 cash back to $300. It pays to discover. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states and situations.
This episode is brought to you by United Airlines. When you want to make the most of your vacation, book with United. They're an airline that cares about your travels as much as you do. United is transforming the flying experience with Bluetooth connectivity, screens, power at every seat, and bigger overhead bins to help fit everyone's bag. And with their app, you can skip the bag check line, get live updates, and more. Change the way you fly. Book your next trip today at united.com.
Hey there. If you love our podcast, then you should consider subscribing to Slate Plus. You will immediately unlock bonus episodes of this show, as well as bonus episodes of many other Slate podcasts. Plus, you'll access ad-free listening across all of your Slate podcasts, whether it's Dear Prudence, Decoder Ring, or even What Next. You will not have to listen to ads on our podcasts if you are a Slate Plus member. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts by clicking Try Free at the top of our show page, or visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to get access wherever you listen. Welcome back to ICYMI. I am here with Slate's own Luke Winky. So, Luke, we talked about why you were doing the sardine diet and where it came from and how you learned about it. And you went to the store, you got your variety of sardines. How did that actually go?
So, you know what? My initial experience with the sardines was totally positive.
Okay.
I cracked open two cans. I took them down, ate them cold right out of the can, or lukewarm right out of the can. Did not put them on any saltine crackers or anything. Overall, wasn't against the taste of sardines. Pretty meaty, you know? Like, you feel like you're actually eating something. And I took those two cans down, and I was like, all right, this is going to be great. I from there, I was like, okay, this should be not that different from any other, you know, cycle of nutrition I've had in a day. I'm going to be fine. That did begin to change a few hours later, if you want me to get into that now.
Okay, yeah, so breakfast is no problem, which honestly, I feel like with a lot of diets, especially if you are still having like your morning coffee, even if you're used to it being a little bit sweeter, you get that hit of caffeine if you're just drinking it black, and then like you get into the first serving and you're like, this is
yeah, you're strange. Energized about it. You're like, hey, I'm gonna, oh yeah, you know, like I'm gonna turn over a new leaf.
I say this as someone who has done the Master Cleanse as well. I mean, I remember I'd be like, this lemonade, this spicy lemonade is great on the first sip. But okay, so now we're here, it's later in the morning, we're approaching lunch. How's it going?
Yeah, we're kind of after we have a meeting at Slate on Monday, like early afternoons for the human interest team. We finished that meeting, and so I live in New York, which means I have a bodega down the street from me, and I've developed a very horrible habit of every day around this time, like just going to get like a little snack, like a little bag of chips or something, or just something, you know, it's just like a kind of a blast of carbs to get me going.
Yeah.
Usually what I'll do is I'll just eat some of it, just a little like left hook of, you know, salt and vinegar or something.
No, we don't always need the whole serving size. Like,
no, of course not. You just want it on your tongue. I don't want to like equate this experience of like a drug withdrawal, but like my body was like calling out for some like carbohydrates or something processed. Aww. Like I was getting like lightheaded. I believe I messaged my editor on Slack. Like, I feel insane right now. This is only just after, you know, like it wasn't like I was hungry. I needed that hit.
Yeah. You'd had enough calories.
For sure.
Like,
yeah.
But
yeah,
you're reaching that midday and it's like your body and like your brain, you're having some kind of like Pavlovian response to the concept of the bodega.
Totally. It was treat time. I'm sorry. It was just treat time.
Wait, what are your go-to treats?
I've been doing the Nerds gummy clusters pretty frequently.
Oh my gosh. That's right. Yeah. I forget everybody. I'm gluten-free, so I can't always have what everybody else can have, but
yeah, they're pretty, they figured out something with the texture there that is like unbelievable. Oof. Or just, you know, like a couple chips. I've been trying to be better. I've been trying to do like a beef jerky or something like that. So yeah, I was lightheaded. I was just feeling super weird. Thankfully, I wasn't feeling as weird as some folks who have done this. As I say in the story, I watched a video of someone who did a sardine fast and described some bowel issues, some bathroom trips that were not going great.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, after day two, specifically after like 2.5 days of nothing but sardines.
And on the second and third day, I kind of had the runs. Yeah. So that wasn't so pleasant.
Oh, brutal.
I didn't have anything quite like that, thankfully, but we should probably put it out there that there are some some bad bathroom reports from the sardine fast community that you might need to keep an eye out for.
That makes sense. I think that goes with the territory, but yes.
Totally. But you know, so the point is, like, I had like two more cans of sardines after that. It's like, okay, maybe I'm just hungry and I'm just going to do this. And I kind of like had like kind of the more like delectable ones. Like I had the moment like, and like the curry sauce. Cause I thought maybe like, you know, maybe just a little bit of naughty cream. That's what I need. Yeah. If I just have the spices,
a little something.
Yeah. Just a little bit of coconut milk. That's going to be, that'll kind of cut off whatever I'm hungry. Didn't really work. I was still messed up. And I like around 4 PM, I broke, and I didn't like break in a major way, but I went down to the bodega and I got like the worst bag of corn chips you could ever find. No one ever really wants corn chips, but I felt like that's what I deserved. I was going to do this. And again, just had like a handful of them, chewed it up, felt immediately better. And I was good for the rest of the day. I just sort of needed that hit to, it's like, I was like weaning myself off or something, you know, it's like, Okay, cool. We do all the sardines and a little bit of corn chips. And the next day, then we can just do sardines all day or something. And, you know, maybe with like one single Pringle or something like that. So I was genuinely kind of surprised at how my body reacted to not having any processed food. There's people in like the keto community who talk about the keto flu.
Oh, and yeah, I did. I wanted to ask you about this. Yeah, say more.
Yeah. I mean, like, who knows? I mean, like, that's something they say when you start doing keto, which is basically cutting out all sugar and a lot of carbs from your diet, a lot of glucose from your diet. Like, you just start to feel kind of sick and all out of sorts. I doubt, like, I was in the full throes of that. You probably need to be, you know, doing that for a few more days to really get there. But, like...
Yeah, usually. Yeah.
Right, but I definitely, like, it was interesting to see how... even after disrupting the rhythm for a little bit, that my body like responded, it was already beginning to respond to like a change in my habits, which like,
yeah,
was sort of almost ominous. It's like, wow, like this, I've lived such a life where if I don't have a handful of corn chips, my body's like, what, something's wrong. Like, what are you doing to me?
Well, and I mean, like they didn't call it the like keto flu at the time, but I do remember like when the Atkins diet was really popular, there was a point at which my mom was doing it. She was starting it, and my mom lives with a major physical disability, so she really struggled to find workouts that worked. And so while I thought that the diet itself was a little funny, I was like, I get why she really wants to try something like this. So I tried to join her just for like the first week out of support, and oh my God, I fully woke up the next morning and my body like could barely move. Like I could open my eyes, but there was no actual energy in my body. Like I felt like sleep trapped kind of, and I could barely get it to move. And like, it took a lot. I was laying in bed for probably a half an hour before I was able to gather enough strength to pull myself along the floor to the fridge, where I like reached for orange juice. And as soon as I chugged the orange juice, like within 30 seconds, I was able to walk again. It was crazy. But that's a legit thing that happened to me when I was like 23 or something.
And I feel like it's physical and it's also psychological, right? Because you're feeling bad. And of course your brain is just gonna be like, you know what, I need to solve this is for me to go back to all the sugar that I love so much and all my carbs that I love so much. I'm gonna be right back at it. It's almost like, you know,
it's like, what's different?
Or like when you like first start lifting weights and then you wake up the next day, just like every part of your body is sore. You're like, what the hell was, and, you know, like that's just change your habits, man. It can be dramatic.
But that's rough to not even be like 6 hours in.
Yeah, for sure. But, you know, again, after that, for dinner, I had another couple cans of sardines and I was good to go. And I woke up the next day, I weighed myself. I was super light because all I was putting in my body was sardines. And I imagine that just like my overall water content was pretty low after that. And, you know, I can't say I would recommend it, but I haven't been looking at the canned fish aisles more often of like.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Like, has it opened you up to some of this? Because I also do feel like, yeah, like there's a reason that there are other reasons that sardines are having a moment. Tinned fish is,
yeah.
I'm like a late to fish person in general. Like I didn't even start eating fish until I was like a fully grown adult, other than the occasional fish stick, which I believe my family forced on me. But so like I am still in some ways getting used to just fish overall.
Right, sure.
So the idea of going to tinned fish does feel a little far from me, but yeah. I also love to cook and I understand that like different ingredients sometimes like an ingredient can be really important even if you don't like it on its own. And so like it does make me curious, yeah, how interested in tinned fish in general and sardines specifically you are now.
Yeah, I one of the guys I interviewed for the story, who is not like a psycho carnivore, no offense, if you want to only eat meat, that's fine. I'm not going to judge you. Do what you want to do. Like, life's hard enough as it is, but I, you know, probably not the best idea. I don't think I would recommend it from like a health perspective. But he tried this and he just like is a guy who just eats a lot of sardines now in general. Like, you okay. know, for sure. lunch, I'm just going to have a can of sardines. You know what? 180 calories, 22 grams of protein, bunch of vitamins. I'm going to feel awesome afterwards because, you know, I've ate very lean. And that is the thing I've found myself more curious about. Like, yeah, instead of just like doing something bad and salty for lunch, like, oh, maybe I'll throw together, you know, a sandwich from the fridge that's probably going to be like 180% of my daily sodium intake. Maybe just crack open a can of sardine, which will also be fair, pretty high in sodium. But the point is, it's better for
it's
you.
It's got all those omega-3s.
Yeah, and it's, again, it has like, you have like a lot of options. You can kind of just curate what flavor you're going for. There's a sense of like, kind of occasion to it when you're deciding which one to do. And so there's something kind of nice to me about the idea of like embracing like Lunchable mindset for my lunches, of like my lunch, I'm just going to open this can, I'm going to eat what's in this can,
right,
and I'm good. Maybe like a more natural, less depressing version of like the Soylent people who mm-hmm. are just doing the liquid lunch stuff. I feel like the efficiency and the health consciousness of it, of my sardine experience has opened me up to the possibilities. Yeah, I'm not like a convert, but I'm like intrigued.
I kind of want to have a follow-up where you go to that sardine store that's in Times Square. I'm very curious, like, if there's an experience when you go in, because it seems like it's got an educational purpose. Like,
I like the idea of like walking into a place like that, and it's like walking into like a really great whiskey bar where they're pulling off like, you know, it's like $45 per sardine in this can. Like, these are, because as Americans, I think, you know, we've just sort of come to think of tinned fish as about as low value of something you can consume,
right, yeah.
you know?
Right? Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing is like, I know that that's not true, like across cultures, you know, I've spent plenty of time in France, like I, you know, but I just, it's just not, like I said, I'm new to fish in general, but yeah, as an American culture, outside of canned tuna, we don't seem to be, you know, I mean, even anchovies, I think people are just like, forget that it's actually in their Caesar salads.
Or like, or just like anything like that. Like oyster sauce, all this stuff. So many great things come from, you know, cooking out of exploiting, you know, what you can find under the ocean that has not really totally made landfall over here. This is getting off topic, but there's a great passage in the book, The Sympathizer, which is about Vietnamese immigrants in like the early 70s. And he writes about just his love of fish sauce and how amazing fish sauce is and how it also wards off all of these like Californians and Westerners when they have the fish sauce going because of how kind of pungent it is. And then at the very end, he says, but of course, fish sauce is so much better than cheese, which is like the most disgusting thing you can imagine. And he's like, yeah, you know what? I bet. When you really think about it, if you didn't really grow up with cheese, I can understand how that would be just a major turnoff. So yeah, we just need to become more more universal with our consumption in general. You know? let's. I'm a food globalist. That's maybe that's the lesson here.
Thank you for telling us about this weird experience, and thank you for doing it and basically always being up for strange things that you're going to write about, because that is part of the joy of you.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure I'll be back soon after doing another dumb thing with my body.
I mean, I hope so.
Okay.
Okay, that's the show. We'll be back in your feed on Saturday, so definitely subscribe. That way you will never miss an episode. And please leave a rating and a review in Apple or Spotify and tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter at @ICYMI_pod, and you can always drop us a note at icymi@slate.com. ICYMI is produced by Sierra Spragley-Ricks, Candace Lim, and Alexandra Botti. Daisy Rosario, that's me, is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is Slate's VP of audio. See you online, or at the sardine shop in Times Square.